I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Christmas. Christmas. Is Christmas really pagan? Is Christmas really pagan? That is the question we are going to tackle here on the show today. Now, every year, I do an annual Christmas show, and from the very first time that I talked about Christmas on the show and gave my thoughts and went over the typical scriptures that people give from Jeremiah and so on, and not decking trees with silver and gold and all this kind of thing. This topic is a source of controversy throughout the churches. I mean, there's no question. It is a source of controversy, even to this day. And I've talked to other ministers and ministries, and everybody is well aware of it. And most ministries, to some extent, go through the challenge of trying to figure out Christmas. And it's a very common problem. Are Christmas trees pagan? Is the whole holiday itself pagan? Where did all this stuff come from? And the general history that is given, and we've heard it repeated over and over and over again, is the idea that this was the ancient feast of Saturnalia on December 25th. This is typically it, the ancient feast of Saturnalia, and that what happened was the church replaced the ancient feast of Saturnalia with the birth of Christ on December 25th, that's the reason for the date. And so people typically today say that Jesus was not really born on December 25th. He was probably born a different time of year, and that this date was really the date of the sun god, or the date of the birth date of Saturn, etc. The birth date of some pagan god. And the church replaced it with the birth of Jesus. And that's how it happened. I mean, that is taught. I mean, there's a minister here in Tennessee who much of his ministry, I've watched this guy before. He's on television, and he has a TV show that airs where he teaches his Bible study. And part of the cornerstone of his teaching is declaring that Christmas is pagan. In fact, I saw a video clip of Pat Robertson not long ago where he was describing the whole Christmas celebration as pagan, that it's all pagan, etc., and that the church simply hijacked a pagan festival and turned it, you know, Christianized it. That's the idea. Well, interestingly, there seem to be more and more scholars and PhDs and researchers and so on who are writing articles confronting this issue and saying that in reality, according to ancient records, this is simply not true. Simply not true. Now, I'm going to go over a number of different articles here because the people who are making these objections are not just independent researchers. I mean, some of these are professors, they're PhDs. You've got one website, Biblical Archaeology, and so on. You've got people who are sober-minded researchers who have been looking into this and getting the details on it, and they've got some very compelling things to say, I think. Well, here's an article called "The Myth of the Pagan Origins of Christmas." The Myth of the Pagan Origins of Christmas, asserting that the idea that Christmas is pagan, that's the real myth. And here's what it says. This is an article by Daniel Lattier. And it says, quote, "It's generally accepted that early Christians adopted December 25th as the day of Christ's birth to co-opt the pagan celebration of the winter solstice. Some believe this fact undermines Christianity. But according to Professor William Teague, this fact may actually be a myth. Based on his extensive research, Teague argues that the December 25th date arose entirely from the efforts of early Latin Christians to determine the historical date of Christ's death. He also goes so far as to claim that the December 25th pagan feast of the birth of the unconquered sun was almost certainly an attempt to create a pagan alternative to a date that was already of some significance to Roman Christians. Okay? And then it goes on from there. Now, there are a number of researchers and websites who are making this same argument. They're arguing that December 25th was not the Feast of Saturnalia, according to ancient records. That's one. And two, that it was only declared to be the pagan feast of the birth of the unconquered sun after it was acknowledged as the birth date of Christ, and that it appears to have been an attempt by the pagans to really infiltrate or to replace the celebration or the acknowledgement of Christ coming into the world at a time that Christianity was on the rise in ancient Rome, in pagan Rome. And so this is where it gets very, very interesting, because I'll be honest with you, brethren, this is history that I've not encountered before. And so when I saw this article, and it's not just this article, this is a more consistent narrative that is beginning to emerge. All right. So Professor Teague explains. So we're going to get Professor Teague's explanation here and then go on, because his is repeated by a number of other researchers. So it says, quote, in the Jewish tradition at the time of Christ, there was a belief in what they called the integral age, that the prophets had died on the same days of their conception or birth. That's the idea. Prophets died supposedly on the same days of their conception or birth. Early Christians spent much energy on determining the exact date of Christ's death. Using historical sources, Christians in the first or second century settled on March 25th as the date of his crucifixion. Soon after, March 25th became the accepted date of Christ's conception as well. So this is based on the Jewish tradition, according to Professor Teague, that the prophets of old died on the same days that they were conceived. That's the idea. So then they assumed that Christ was crucified on March 25th. So then they then argued from that he must have been conceived on March 25th. Then you count forward 9 months from March 25th, and that takes you to December 25th, and that would be the date of Christ's birth, based upon that calculation. Now, this is something that, I mean, I've read parts of this in prior years when I've done my Christmas show, my annual Christmas show. I've encountered bits and pieces of this argument before, that there are alternative explanations for how they came up with the date of December 25th. But hopefully we're going to see by the time we get to the end of the program that the idea that December 25th used to be the Feast of Saturnalia or something, and that they just, you know, impose that as a date for the birth of Christ, that is simply a historic narrative that doesn't hold up to scrutiny and to more careful investigation. Now, all that to say, that doesn't necessarily mean that December 25th was the actual day that Christ was born into the world. Doesn't mean that at all. But how did they come up with that date? The date was not arrived at because of some pagan festival. It was arrived at, according to Professor Teague and others, because of a Jewish tradition, a Jewish teaching, that the prophets of old died on the same day that they were conceived. Now, I don't know how anybody would ever prove that. I've never seen any data or information where you could confirm something like that, but that was their belief. So based on that belief, and they determined that Jesus was crucified March 25th, they count forward 9 months. That's where they get December 25th from. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the accurate date, but it just means it's not based on a pagan festival, as we're often told. Okay. Then you have, this goes on. This next part is very important. It says, it is unknown exactly when Christians began formally celebrating December 25th as a feast. What is known, however, is that the date of December 25th had no religious significance in the Roman pagan festival calendar before Aurelian's time, who was the Roman emperor from 270 to 275, nor did the cult of the sun play a prominent role in Rome before him. Okay, and so the celebration of the sun god, the Sol Invictus, and so on, all of that begins about 274 AD. So that's not, Sol Invictus worship and this kind of thing is not some ancient practice and a festival that preceded Christ and this kind of thing. Even though there may very well have been people who worshiped Sol Invictus in Rome, the pagan festival for this begins after 274. You go to biblicalarchaeology.org, their website, they've got an interesting article on the Christmas celebration, how December 25th came about. And they talk about this whole idea, this popular teaching today that Christmas is based on an ancient pagan festival. And they said this, they said, quote, despite its popularity today, this theory of Christmas's origins has its problems. In other words, the idea that Christmas originated as a pagan festival. They say, quote, it is not found in any ancient Christian writings, for one thing. Christian authors of the time do not note a connection between the solstice and Jesus' birth. The church father Ambrose, for example, described Christ as the true sun who outshone the fallen gods of the old order. But early Christian writers never hint at any recent calendrical engineering. They clearly don't think the date was chosen by the church. Rather, they see the coincidence as a providential sign, as natural proof that God had selected Jesus over the false pagan gods. Okay? Then it goes on, it says, quote, it's not until the 12th century that we find the first suggestion that Jesus' birth celebration was deliberately set at the time of pagan feasts. That's another thing that you'll find interesting if you look into this. The idea that the Christmas celebration was associated with pagan feasts and this kind of thing. Some say you don't find it until the 12th century. Others place it even later than that. That the argument that Christmas is based on paganism shows up hundreds and hundreds of years after the celebration had been practiced by Christians for centuries. Okay? Now it goes on and says, quote, most significantly, the first mention of a date for Christmas, circa 200 AD, and the earliest celebrations that we know about, 250 to 300 AD, come in a period when Christians were not borrowing heavily from pagan traditions of such an obvious character. On that note, this article does go on to talk about how pagan festivals would eventually, after the time of Constantine, it says that, quote, this would change only after Constantine converted to Christianity. From the mid-4th century on, we do find Christians deliberately adapting and Christianizing pagan festivals. A famous proponent of this practice was Pope Gregory the Great, who, in a letter written in 601 AD, and they say CE, meaning Common Era, and of course we reject the whole idea of CE, really it means 601 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, to a Christian missionary in Britain, recommended that local pagan temples not be destroyed, but be converted into churches, and that pagan festivals be celebrated as feasts of Christian martyrs. At this late point, Christmas may well have acquired some pagan trappings, but we don't have evidence of Christians adopting pagan festivals in the 3rd century, at which point dates for Christmas were established. Thus, it seems unlikely that the date was simply selected to correspond with pagan solar festivals. Interesting. Interesting arguments, brethren. I have to admit, for the greater part of the last 10 or 20 years of my life, I have generally accepted the arguments that the Christmas celebration came about as a way of replacing pagan festivals. That was the, and again, part of the reason is because in the Church of Rome, that is something very commonly done. As this article on archaeology acknowledges. But apparently you've got more and more researchers that are looking into this thing, and as they're getting more of the specific details, and what we're going to talk about next is actually things like the Feast of Saturnalia and the Feast of Sol Invictus, and you're going to see the dates for both, for either one, do not correspond with December 25th. That's the problem. And December 25th, as a feast of the unconquerable sun, was, we find that being celebrated into the 4th century after the time of Constantine the Great, according to one source who makes that claim. And this is where the idea seems to come in, that it was, in fact, the pagans who were trying to resist Christianity. Because remember, old pagan Rome was a pagan empire that worshipped all the gods and goddesses. And after Christianity was legalized in 313 AD by Constantine with the Edict of Milan and so on, and then it began to spread throughout the empire, it became the religion of the Roman Empire, the official religion, but the pagans continued to resist it. They continued to try and suppress it. And it would appear from that, because now it's into the 4th century where you find the birth of the unconquerable sun being celebrated on December 25th in particular. But all of that becomes a little bit more complicated. We are going to discuss that as we come back from our commercial break right after this.
Adullam Films presents Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones, a dynamic new documentary exposing the environmental agenda. In 1980, this granite monument was erected by an anonymous stranger who called himself R.C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group that wished to usher in the Age of Reason. Sometimes called the American Stonehenge, this strange monument is said to contain the Ten Commandments of the New Age, or the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. It calls for global government, environmental control, and worst of all, it says to maintain the world population under 500 million people. But who was R.C. Christian, and does his monument have something to do with the climate change agenda of the United Nations today? Find out by ordering Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones. Available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
For any follower of Christ. flashbacks and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon Howes, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to the Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the Christmas celebration. Is Christmas a pagan holiday? All right, let's go on to, I want to talk about these articles here. You've got, well, on Come Reason Ministries, you've got an article there published this year that says, no, Christmas is not based on a pagan holiday. Christmas is not based on a pagan holiday, and then proceeds to make very similar arguments to the ones we have been talking about. Let me read part of this article. It says, quote, much of the thrust of the pagan Christmas claim rests on the idea of a Christianized Rome trying to convert a populace that wouldn't want to give up its feast traditions, akin to the practice of churches celebrating a harvest festival instead of Halloween. Yet scholars like Yale University's T.C. Schmidt are finding the marking of December 25th to go much earlier in the Christian history. When translating Hippolytus's commentary on Daniel, written just after A.D. 200, Schmidt notes that five of the seven manuscripts contain December 25th as the date for Jesus' birth, and another offers the 25th of either December or March, Clement of Alexandria in the same time offers the date of March 25th as the date of the incarnation, that is, the conception of Jesus, in his Stromata. Both works tie the idea that Jesus' death would have happened on the same day as his conception. So this is what we talked about before, based upon this Jewish tradition. But this article goes a step further and quotes St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom, in his writings, goes even further by noting that the angel Gabriel's announcement, or he says ever further, by noting that the angel Gabriel's announcement of Mary's conception happened while Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, Luke 1:26. Chrysostom argues that Zechariah's service was the Day of Atonement, thus making the conception of John the Baptist happen in the fall. Add 6 months, and Jesus' conception lands in the spring, or March 25th. I don't know that this calculation is historically accurate, but it does show how much the early church tied the events together. The idea of randomly choosing a pagan date, seems a pretty big stretch, end quote. That's what he says. So that's the point that many researchers are making, that that the date is not chosen from a pagan festival. That's not where the date comes from. It actually comes from arguments that are based in a Jewish concept that a prophet would die on the same day that he was conceived, and then trying to determine when the conception of Christ happened, and then from there leading that to his birth 9 months forward from the conception. All right, now the argument goes a step further, and I think this is just as important as the acknowledgement that where does December 25th come from? Because others then argue that, well, wait a second, what about the coincidence of the Feast of Saturnalia, for example? The problem is the Feast of Saturnalia was not celebrated on December 25th, as we are commonly told. And that's another thing that you'll find on this article at cumreason.org when they talk about Saturnalia. It says, quote, Saturnalia was a three-day-long feast that began 16 days before January 1st. Their December was 31 days long, as is ours, so that places Saturnalia on December 17th, far too early to be mistaken for December 25th. And this is, you've got a number of researchers who are pointing this out, that the Feast of Saturnalia was not held on the 25th of December, as we are often told. Now, it does get a bit complex because you have to study how the Romans broke down their calendar, and they broke down their calendar into segments and so on. But he goes into that big, long explanation, which you can find on the website. But the sum and total of it is that the Feast of Saturnalia took place about December 17th. That it was a three-day-long feast, so this would be December 17th to December 20th. Other researchers, there's at least one other researcher that I have seen who places the latest date for the end of the Feast of Saturnalia on the 23rd of December. So the idea of the Feast of Saturnalia being on December 25th is simply unsupported based upon the historic records. Okay? So if somebody says, well, it's the Feast of Saturnalia or something like that, you can come back and tell them, well, actually the Feast of Saturnalia, was December 17th, not December 25th. So that's not the date for the Feast of Saturnalia. Now, the other part, the next part, is the idea of the solstice, okay, the winter solstice, and then Sol Invictus, all right, the birthday of the unconquerable sun. And there are those who will argue, they'll try to say, well, Jesus, as the Son of God, and this is a very common argument, they'll say, well, the Son of God just replaced the sun god from the ancient world, Sol Invictus. That is not an uncommon argument. That is an argument that I've seen for years. One of the things that's pointed out in these articles, however, is that we have to go back and remember that in our language, we speak English, and the word for sun, like the sun shining in the sky, is just like the word sun, S-O-N, and S-U-N, they sound like the same thing. However, in Latin, which is the language of ancient Rome, the sun in the sky was called sol, S-O-L, whereas a son, your father's son, is filius. It's a completely different word. Filius and sol are not even close to each other in terms of how they sound or how they could be related one to another. So in English, you can, that association seems to make sense, but if we go to Latin, sol, S-O-L, and filius, they're completely unrelated. So there's no reason to have the kind of word association that we sometimes hear people make in the English language when they're talking about that. All right, so the article goes on. It says, quote, Saturnalia is not the only candidate offered by critics as why December 25th was the focus of the coming of the Son of God. There is another holiday that actually occurred on December 25th mentioned in antiquity. This was Dies Natalis Solis Invictus, translated as the birthday of the unconquerable Son. It was celebrated on December 25th in 354 AD, according to the calendar of Philocalus. Okay? December 25th in 354 AD. Now, bear in mind the date. We have claims about acknowledging the birth date of Christ going back to 200 AD, so about 150 years prior to this. And now you've got the celebration of Sol Invictus in 354 AD. It appears that this is the reason why some people think, and let's just, you know, 200 AD, 313 AD, Constantine the Great legalizes Christianity. Christianity now begins to be more and more strengthened and empowered in the old Roman Empire. It's becoming more and more popular because Constantine the Emperor was reportedly, he converted to Christianity. Now he's at least by his profession a Christian. So now it's 354 AD. There was definitely a struggle where the pagans felt they were losing their old traditions, etc. But it's very possible and likely that the birth date of Christ was being celebrated. So now it's 354 when they begin to celebrate the birthday of Sol Invictus, of the unconquerable Son, right? The unconquerable Sun God. And why were they doing this? Were they doing this perhaps because the pagans were trying to argue that this Jesus is not going to be able to conquer our pagan sun god? Right? Is that what this was? This an act of defiance by the pagans? Remember something now, brethren, in the society that we live in today, as I'm reading some of these articles, the ones written by Christians, they're always careful to use AD and BC for their dates. AD meaning Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, and then BC meaning before Christ, which is why the calendar throughout the Western world is set up the way that it is. It's all based on the advent of Christ coming into the world. So what's happened now? In modern times, you have the pagans or the unbelievers, the non-Christians, who have tried to change this into ACE and BCE, meaning after the common era. And sometimes they'll say CE, common era, or BCE, or before common era, and this kind of thing. In other words, what they're trying to do is they're trying to hijack the Christian calendar. They're still using the same format, but they're trying to get rid of the Christian element of the calendar. That's what they're doing. And we see this throughout our culture here in America today. The pagans are constantly trying to find a way to replace whatever thing that is Christian with something pagan or something that will be more suitable to them and their unbelief. Okay? So the argument that's being made by scholars today is that this is what was going on in old pagan Rome. Old pagan Rome, the Christians had been acknowledging the birth of Christ on December 25th, and it may well be that the pagans tried to impose their worship of the sun god, Sol Invictus, onto the Christian celebration. All right? Kind of like when, you know, they erect the Ten Commandments out in front of the courthouse in Oklahoma, or the Capitol in Oklahoma. And then the Church of Satan wants to come and they want to bring their satanic monument and place it right alongside. Or if Christians are praying down at the courthouse, well, then now we have to have the Wiccan priestess go down there and she's got to pray too, or else it's not fair, supposedly. This kind of thing. Is that what really happened? And there are some researchers who are making that argument, that is what happened, that the pagans were trying to impose themselves on what had been a Christian holiday. All right, now back to this article where it says that the birthday of the unconquerable sun was celebrated on December 25th in 354 AD. It goes on to say that, quote, Emperor Aurelian did not first introduce Rome to the cult. While Emperor Aurelian did not first introduce Rome to the cult, he popularized it and the celebration day. Now, this begins about 274 AD. That's where Aurelian comes in. And so the article says, quote, previously, local celebrations of Sol, that is Sol Invictus, the sun god, revolved around the dedication of the god's temples in August and or November. In fact, the word Natalis can mean more than simply birthday, but it may also be used for the concept of an anniversary, okay, as in the anniversary of the dedication of the temple. Goes on, it says, quote, Tally tells us the indigenous sun cult at Rome does not seem to have been especially sensitive to the winter solstice or any other quarter days. While Aurelian set the feast, it may not have been set in December until much later. And then it says, of course, all of this is well after the 202 to 211 AD mark, where Hippolytus ties December 25th to Jesus's birth. If the Natalis, which is another word for birthday or anniversary, if the Natalis was originally celebrated in August or October or November, why was it changed to December? All right, so notice where they're going with this. They're saying, look, the celebration for Sol Invictus happened earlier in the fall. Why did they change it? Hulsberg, without suggesting that there already was a Christian festival on December 25th, presents the probability that one item in Aurelian's religious agenda was the provision of an authentically Roman alternative to the increasingly successful Christian mission. And this seems to be where the idea that the pagans were trying to oppose Christianity, that's why they were trying to lift up their pagan gods to upset a Christian celebration. It gives a summary in this article. This article is a great article if you want to do some research. There's a lot more details to this than I'm going to give on the show. But just in summation, they say, quote, Saturnalia did not occur on December 25th and had nothing to do with the birth of any god or anyone else. That's one. Two, a feast to Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun, did occur on December 25th, but the earliest evidence for it dates from the mid to late 4th century. There is no evidence that Emperor Aurelian established a festival of Sol Invictus or anyone or anything else on December 25th. And that's important because Emperor Aurelian, he's the one who really establishes the popular worship of Sol Invictus beginning about 274 AD. It goes on to say Egyptians apparently presented an infant as a representation of the newborn sun, S-U-N, on the winter solstice, but this evidence also dates from the 4th and 5th centuries. So again, we're talking more than 100 years after the acknowledgement of the birth of Christ on December 25th, about 200 AD. It says Hippolytus in 202 to 11 AD set the date for the birth of Jesus on December 25th because he thought Jesus was conceived 9 months earlier on the Passover, the day which he also thought the world was created 5,500 years earlier, the vernal equinox, March 25th. Interesting, is it not, brethren? Very, very interesting. All right, I want to read one more quote, and this is from the Pathos website at pathos.com, the blog of Gene Veith. Gene Veith, and he's got an article there, Christmas is not based on the feast of Sol Invictus. And he gives his summation where he says, quote, there are many historians and people following them who will still assert that December 25th is Sol Invictus in ancient Rome. Some will even claim that another religion, Mithraism, has close connection to this December 25th celebration. In actual fact, there is no ancient documentation tying Mithraism to December 25th or Sol Invictus. The Christian celebration of the Nativity of Christ as December 25th predates anything in the earliest actual documentation for Sol Invictus on December 25th. Very, very interesting. Because it's very different from what we're hearing out there. I mean, it's just commonly repeated that, well, Christmas is pagan. It's a pagan holiday. They took all these pagan traditions, et cetera, and so on. But the collective evidence, the historic evidence from antiquity, at least based on these articles, brethren, seems to paint a very different picture. That while I don't think it can be proven that Jesus was actually born on December 25th, even the arguments about how they arrived at that date, although those arguments make a lot more sense than that the early church just decided to randomly ascribe the date of some pagan god and to say, well, this is going to be the birthday of Jesus. That doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when we find the acknowledgement of the birth of Christ going back to those early centuries. Doesn't make a lot of sense. The more we look into it, this is a history that, to me, is much more logical. I'm still not convinced that Jesus was born on December 25th, per se, but I feel much better knowing that it was based in a Jewish tradition and that it was based on when they believed that Christ was crucified, which they have a much better chance of knowing, the crucifixion of Christ, and that they counted 9 months, you know, assuming that that was also his conception based on this Jewish tradition. And then they counted 9 months forward from that point and assumed that that would be his birth. That makes me feel a whole lot better about the Christmas celebration rather than the idea that they simply hijacked a pagan festival. And of course, if that were true, then we would simply deal with that. You know, we would have to deal with that. I personally don't think it matters one way or the other, because the birth of Christ is mentioned in the New Testament in Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. And remembering his birth, remembering the great gift that God has blessed all mankind with, that he's blessed us all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul says, if God spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, brethren, we are going to be talking more about the issue of Christmas. We're going to tackle some of the other arguments this week because this is the week of Christmas. So we will tackle more of these arguments in the next or in the upcoming radio shows. But until then, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.